God, that was strange to see you again. Introduced by a friend of a friend, smiled and said, yes, I think we've met before. In that instant it started to pour. Captured a taxi despite all the rain. We drove in silence across Pont Champlain. And all of that time you thought I was sad. I was trying to remember your name.
Facing the Past by Alamonde. Read by Cyrano II. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of the new Cardassian Republic for you, Julian. Without looking up from his test dish, Julian chuckled. I don't know why you insist on calling him that. Anyway, I'll take it in my... The experiment finished, he had looked up, only to realize that he wasn't being called on the comm system at all. The minister was right here, in Julian and Zuni Palak's improvised clinic lab on the Tregonis region, standing next to a very amused-looking Zuni, and, of course, an aide, a doctor he didn't know, and the inevitable pair of bodyguards. Typical. They hadn't seen each other for over a month, and now Julian couldn't even greet him the way he would have liked to. Not that his partner approved of overly emotional scenes, anyway. Minister, he said instead, getting up and bowing his head respectfully. Doctor, Garrick replied, returning the nod. I hope you don't mind this unannounced visit, but I'm afraid I couldn't wait. You see, I only just found Dr. Mirren here. He indicated the man on his right, who is willing, even very eager, to continue your work here in Tregonis during your absence. My absence? Asked Julian, after he had greeted Mirren with the obligatory nod. If you will be so agreeable as to accompany me, Garrick added. Bastard, Julian thought, as if that pseudo-request disguised the fact that he was practically being ordered to come along. That depends on where to and how long, he said nonetheless, if only to find some perverse pleasure in the scandalized looks on everyone's faces, except Zuni's, who was used to his cheek, and Garrick's, who knew he wouldn't say no. I have a great number of projects running here, which I am certain you and Dr. Palak can explain to Dr. Mirren, replied Garrick, clearly amused. We will be gone for no longer than 2 weeks. Mirren stepped forward, seemingly having recovered from Julian's insubordination, and eager to convince him to play along. I have already familiarized myself with your recent work on the Tregonis plague and the cancer cases, Dr. Bashir, he said, and will continue it to the best of my abilities, with the able help of Dr. Palak. A respectful nod between the other two doctors, with no hint of prejudice from Zuni's part about the male doctor. She was used to Julian, of course, though he was not Cardassian, and therefore not subject to their strange societal norms. All right, I will be glad to show you around if the minister will grant me half an hour, Julian said finally, giving Garrick a sarcastically submissive bow. The minister smiled slightly, and replied with a rather condescending nod. Bastard, thought Julian again. Certainly, doctor. For your information, we are accompanying the Prime Minister to a meeting of the leaders and foreign secretaries of the Federation, Bajor, the Klingon and Romulan Empires, and the Cardassian Republic, on Deep Space Nine. Julian raised his eyebrows. I can see why you thought that would interest me. I thought you would. Half an hour later, he was already feeling much better about the prospect of leaving his work and his part of the responsibility of running the lab to Mirren. The man was really very bright, and seemed pleasant enough. Zuni confirmed this impression when she came to his room as he was hurriedly packing some clothes. He is not a genius like you, but he will do, she said, smiling. And you deserve to go home for a little while. She hesitated. Although I would be sorry if your human friends convinced you to stay. He clasped her shoulder in farewell. I am looking forward to it, but I will be just as happy to return home after 2 weeks." She smiled, then took his arm as they walked toward the exit, where Garak's aide was waiting. "Are you nervous?" Zuni asked, and Julian was amused to find another example of her adopting the human style of direct communication. "Nervous? No reason to be." She grinned. They both knew what an enormous lie that was. "It will be fine, Julian, and you will get to spend time with your friend, the minister." They had arrived outside, and Zuni laid a hand on his arm. "I will miss you." "Don't worry, I'll be back before the plague is over." She shook her head. "Sometimes I think Cardassia has made you too cynical, my friend." It was well into the night when Julian finally got to be alone with Garak. The Prime Minister, Osharan, seemed especially fond of late-night meetings. According to Garak, he hadn't stopped talking for hours. He does have certain difficulties with the concept of free time, his partner admitted when he had finally entered Julian's quarters after having been, so he said, released from the ship's community room. And he is also slightly paranoid. He keeps going on about Bajorans who might attack us. Still, he is a very shrewd man who is a great asset to our government. Suddenly, Garak smiled and shook his head. It was the first time Julian had seen the official mask drop since he had arrived. "Listen to me. I really must have turned into a politician." "You've always been a bit of a politician in your own way, Elam." Julian took Garak's hands and pulled him down on the sofa with him, and they finally shared their first kiss in 1 month. 2 had passed since that first kiss on the bridge, and it was still all delightfully new. The feel of Garak's hand in his hair and the other around his waist, those cool, soft lips on his, the scales below his ear under Julian's right hand, the neck ridges under his left, Garak's shallow breathing whenever they so much as touched, his hissed exhale, the deep affection in his eyes as he drew back and took him in, evidently savoring the feeling of just looking at his partner. The love Julian clearly saw in Garak's eyes was still almost too much to bear. He knew he must wear the same expression on his face, because he was very much in love, but in all the years that they had known each other, Garak almost always had been so completely guarded, so untouchable. Julian had been frustrated at times how little his eyes showed. Now, whenever they were alone, Garak opened up to him so completely that it was almost a little shocking sometimes. Now the expression in Garak's eyes turned into concern as he looked him up and down. "You have not been eating well," he scolded. "Neither have you, dearest." It was the best approximation of darling that Julian knew so far in Cardassi, but somehow he thought it suited them. "No, but unlike you, I have always had a little excess weight." Julian knew he was trying to provoke him into protesting, or just rolling his eyes, but he wasn't going to give him the pleasure. After all, however open they may be with each other, their relationship was still very much what it had been for years, an elegant dance. "Besides," continued Garak, "what fun is food when there is no one to share it with?" "Exactly." Julian raised his hand again to stroke one particularly sensitive spot on Garak's neck. "And then," he leaned forward, deliberately, slowly, "you suddenly get hungry again." And he bit Garak's neck lightly. His partner hissed, grabbing his shoulders and climbing on top of him in one solid movement, and then there was really no way of getting to the bed in time. Later, much later, when they had made it to the bed, and Julian lay curled around Garak, his hand on his partner's chest, just feeling his heart beating. "You could have let me know about this trip in advance, you know," he said. But there was no real annoyance in his tone. He knew that Garak liked to surprise him. However, the Cardassian was always trying in one way or another to have the upper hand, so it did feel necessary to tell him off for it every now and then. "Bursting in on me like that, I could have embarrassed you in front of your staff." I knew you wouldn't, dearest. Garrick raised Julian's hand to his lips and kissed it lightly, then replaced it on his chest. You have remarkable self-control. For a human. Julian knew that there was some hint in there about his being a little more than human, but he was grateful to his friend for not going on about it so much any more. Besides, I really have only found Dr. Mirren at the last minute. I would never have presumed to tear you away from Tregonis had I not found an adequate substitute. All right, then. Non-apology accepted. They both laughed. I completely forgot about the conference, or rather I thought it was much further off, and I didn't realize it was on DS9. That was only decided the other day. Apparently there was some dispute about what could be considered neutral territory, especially between the Klingons and the Romulans. You don't say, Julian said. It should be an interesting conference, Garrick continued. We're supposedly speaking about the future of the Alpha Quadrant, power relations, territory rights, and so on, but really I think it's all about presenting ourselves, the new Cardassian Republic, to the others. Julian nodded. The new government had only been constituted 2 weeks ago. It made sense that their first big act would be a meeting with all the major forces in the Alpha Quadrant, especially as the new Republic had pledged to be more open toward other peoples. Will Kira be there, do you know? Oh, yes. Captain Kira contacted me a few days ago to ask about some last-minute security questions. Security? Are they expecting trouble? Oh, fairly standard procedure for such a conference, I should think. She also asked me, incidentally, whether you were coming along. I see. Well, I do look forward to seeing her. Do you? Garrick turned around to face him and placed his hand on Julian's hip. I thought you might be concerned. I am, Julian admitted. But, well, if she has a problem with this, there's not a lot I can do about it. Garrick nodded slowly. So you plan on telling her about us? Don't you want me to? Julian frowned. I'm not sure I can keep it from her, Elam. Your aides and the Prime Minister and the rest of Cardassia are one thing, but Captain Kira is a force of nature, Garrick said. Don't worry, dearest. I quite agree. If you want to tell her, then do. Just make sure she keeps it to herself. I know, he said when he saw the slightly frustrated look in Julian's eyes. I would prefer to be more open about this, too. Trust me. It's just that with this position, I know, love. The last phrase was in standard, and Julian saw Garrick's eyes light up with pleasure. You like that? Very much. We should adopt that in Cardassi. Julian smiled. Anyway, I know we can't run around holding hands or tell people about our relationship, not with you being the Foreign Secretary. It didn't work out as we planned, did it? Garrick sighed. I get talked into remaining in an important government position, and you run off to Tregonis merely weeks after we finally share a bed for the first time. Not what you would call happily ever after. I guess not. It's more like a Cardassian romance. Julian curled up again, resting his head against Garrick's chest. They lay there for a while. Then he said, You're mad at me for going to Tregonis. I knew it. Not exactly mad, no. Just worried, and regretful of not being able to spend more time with you, that's all. But I do understand why you did it. That plague outbreak was frightening, as well as all the cancer cases. But I hear you've been making good progress. Yes, things are looking up now. Good. I visited the faculty the other day. They miss your input very much. Dr. Jarrett almost asked me to order you back to the capital. How unprofessional of Dr. Jarrett. As if the Cardassian government could be bribed in any way. Quite. Julian kissed him. Well, I'm very glad you ordered me to come along to this conference. See? I always know what's good for you, even if you don't know it yet. Deep Space Nine was more beautiful than Julian remembered it. Undoubtedly, his time on Cardassia had fine-tuned his senses to the architecture. Where it had seemed pompous and warlike before, The station that was slowly coming into view from his window now looked positively elegant. Julian hadn't allowed himself to dwell on DS9 memories very much in the last 6 months, but now, with every kilometer they came closer to the station, he felt like he was regaining one more memory of his life there. Some good, some bad, which he supposed was more than he could have hoped for. There was a Bajoran and a Romulan vessel already docked. Apparently the Klingons had not arrived yet. Julian wondered if the Federation ambassador to Konos was going to be there too. Strangely, thinking of Worf instantly made him think of Ezri too. He waited in his quarters after the ship had docked, knowing that the greeting ceremony at the docking ring would take a while, and not really feeling like entering the station as part of the official Cardassian delegation. Finally, he disembarked, and finding the corridor empty, he made his way straight to Quark's. It was hardly changed, which was not surprising. There was one more Dabo table. He had never been that partial to the game, but a mind like his would notice it anyway. And the furniture was slightly different, but the noise was the same, and so were the appallingly half-naked girls. Julian smiled to himself. Cardassians were not terrible prudes, but this was a little much for their liking. And obviously, he was now seeing this through their eyes, too. "Doctor!" came out a very familiar voice, and he walked over to the bar to find the owner smiling at him in welcome. "I had a feeling I might see you one of these days. Your instinct is, as usual, right on the money, Quark," Julian said as they shook hands. "How are you?" "Oh, not bad. You're standing inside the last remaining outpost of the real Ferenginar. This bar is still the real thing, whereas the planet these days, well..." He trailed off, looking quite disgusted. Julian had to smile again. "The Grand Nagus Rom hasn't changed your society for the better, then?" "What, are you kidding me? It's all free market and gender equality and taxes!" Quark shook his head. "But never mind. How has Cardassia been treating its most loyal Federation expat?" Without asking, he poured him a glass of root beer. "Quite well. It's been absolutely fascinating to be a witness to the rebuilding of their world, not just of the buildings, but also of their whole society. Thanks, Quark." He took a swig and savored the taste. Root beer was still unobtainable on Cardassia. "Well, let's hope they rebuild it into something better." "It certainly looks that way to me. Ah, hello, Morn. Still here, then?" Morn, in his usual chair, nodded, and looked like he was about to launch into one of his famous monologues. Quark, however, rescued him. "Vic's program is still running, Doctor, if you want to go up." "Oh, marvelous!" It was astonishing, but it felt as though he'd just been told an old friend had come back. "I'll check it out later. I think I really should go say hello to the captain now." Quark raised his eyebrows. "You're telling me you came here first? I'm touched, Doctor, I really am." Julian raised his glass to him, then emptied it. "Somehow I felt like fortifying myself first." Quark laughed. "I getcha. Sorry to break it to you, but she hasn't got any less scary." Julian chuckled, then said goodbye, and made his way toward Ops. How strange it felt to walk these corridors. He felt like he had spent years on Cardassia, and still he would know his way around this place with a blindfold. "Ops," he said as the turbolift lurched upward. So did his stomach. Why was he so nervous? It wasn't like he was about to see a teacher after he'd misbehaved in class. Then why did he feel like he was about to face a greater adversary than in any of the numerous Cardassian conversations he had maneuvered through? Ops also looked the same. Julian shook his head at himself. Why was it so surprising? Had he imagined that it would all be rebuilt after he left? Surely he couldn't be that arrogant. He recognized a few faces as he walked towards Kira's office. Ensign Collins was now a lieutenant and stationed at Tactical. Lieutenant Commander Ling was at Engineering. They'd once got a drink together on Miles's birthday. They all nodded and smiled at him as he made his way past them. "Julian!" Kira greeted him as he walked in, and in an instant she had rounded the desk and hugged him. "It is so good to see a friendly face." "That bad?" He laughed as they pulled back. "You make it sound as though several enemy fleets have besieged the station." Well, it's the next best thing. She made a face. I've never liked political events. Everyone's so diplomatic. He grinned. You're very good at that, though. Years of painful practice. But I still don't like it one bit. Anyway, at least a few nice people are part of it. You came with Garrick, right? She sat down and motioned him to sit as well. He nodded and sat, wondering whether Garrick had just been put in the nice people compartment. That would have been a start. It feels like I haven't been here for years. Trust me, it does for me, too. The whole war, it's so far away. She looked sad then, and Julian looked away. Have you seen the Cardassians since they came on board? She asked finally. They were going to take a look at the conference room, and then Garrick was going to show them around the station. I hope there hasn't been any trouble. Trouble? What do you mean? And no, I haven't seen them. Oh, never mind. We're just trying to be careful. I've assigned security teams to them anyway, so I would hear if anything's amiss. So, will you be taking part in the official negotiations? Thankfully, no. This is just a social visit. What about you? They want my input for a few tactical and territorial questions, but other than that, I'm free to come and go as I please. She cocked a conspiratorial eyebrow. I'm going to be making good use of that privilege, especially the latter one. Julian grinned. Still the woman of action that he remembered. Less talk, more results. It was rather pleasing to be in the company of such a resolute, no-nonsense person, after spending such a long time with Cardassians, who liked conversation more than anything else. Sometimes, Garrick even interrupted their lovemaking with a lengthy discussion. Frustratingly, Julian enjoyed talking to him so much that he often got caught up in this spiel. How have you been, Julian? Kira interrupted him in his most intimate thoughts, and he blushed a little, but for no longer than a split second, before he regained control of his sympathetic nervous system. How has Cardassia been treating you? Almost exactly the same phrasing Quark had used, thought Julian, and briefly considered mentioning this, but he thought that Kira would not be overly thrilled at being compared to the Ferengi. Very well, he said. I've been working at the Cardassian Medical Research Faculty for a while, basically the biggest planet-wide medical facility, although for the past month I was in the Tyrganus region, dealing with a plague outburst and an onslaught of severe cancer cases caused by radiation in the rubble. They still don't have all the access to anti-radiation shots, so many of the cleanup crews are doing very badly. She frowned in sympathy, and not for the first time he marveled at her. That she was still capable of so much compassion for the Cardassians was frankly astonishing. They really got it bad, was all she said. Yeah. And have you been seeing much of Garrick? His stomach gave a little jump. Well, not in the past month, but other than that, yes, we do see each other every now and then. No regular lunches anymore, as he's been very busy, but... He trailed off. Are you planning on staying on the planet for the foreseeable future? Julian thought she sounded, if not disapproving, then definitely skeptical. Yes, probably. This may seem a little strange to you, but I like Cardassians. Especially the new reformed ones, if you will. They're much less brutal, more humble. And they're fantastic conversationalists. She said nothing. And he knew she didn't, and probably never would, understand his choice. Julian, called Vic, over the hubbub of Fontaines, and came rushing over to him. I haven't seen you in months, or have they changed something in my matrix that's changed my time perception or something? Not that I know of. Julian grinned, and clasped Vic's outstretched hand. It really has been months. He'd said goodbye to Vic before leaving. Back then, he'd been a very different man. "What's cool with you?" asked Vic. "Last time you were in here, you were all bummed out, my friend. Now look at you. Fine as wine. This cat's back in the game." "Yeah, it was hard when Ezri broke up with me," Julian admitted. "I basically ran away. But Cardassia, that's where I'm living now, that's been helping me a lot." Vic nodded knowingly. "You got yourself a new sweetheart." It wasn't a question. Julian blushed. Again. This was getting ridiculous. Well, yes, but it's not official, so I'd be grateful if you could keep it to yourself.
Right on, Pally, don't you worry. Vic can keep a secret if he's asked to. Just promise me you'll bring her in here one day.
I'll see what I can do. He was so lost in thoughts when he walked back down the stairs that at first he didn't notice the large number of people in Quark's. But then he did see them. Bajorans, Klingons, Cardassians, even Romulans standing and sitting together in little groups, talking, drinking. Something was strange about the atmosphere. It looked as though everyone was trying to be extremely polite. He spotted Worf standing with Kira and went over to greet them. The Klingon, he knew, had never liked Garak very much, and had not been overly fond of Julian, either. Still, he appreciated Worf, if mainly for the fact that Jadzia, and Ezri, in a way, had loved him. They made some small talk. Worf was obviously trying not to criticize Julian's decision to go to Cardassia, but he could tell the Klingon wasn't overly interested in his reports of Cardassia being rebuilt. After a while, Worf excused himself and went to talk to Martok and what Julian supposed was the Klingon Foreign Secretary. They, too, looked like they were trying very hard to have a good time.
"What's the matter?"
Julian asked Kira, while watching Garak having his ear chewed off once more by Osharan. The man always looked so insistent in everything he said. Julian supposed that conveying one's beliefs passionately was a good quality in a politician, but still, sometimes he wished the man was a little less intense.
"What do you mean?" she asked, although she looked like she knew.
"Everyone looks as though they're trying very hard to be nice to each other. Or is that just how it looks at this kind of conference?"
"I don't remember you being this observant, Julian," Kira said with a shrewd smile playing around her lips.
"But you're right. And no, it's not usually this bad. It's just that earlier there was a bit of a run-in between the Klingons and the Romulans."
"Ah."
He had spent this afternoon reacquainting himself with the station and saying hello to the staff he still knew. Most of his time, unsurprisingly, had been spent in the infirmary with Dr. Jabara, discussing the latest papers and findings all over the Alpha Quadrant. Meanwhile, the delegations had already met up for pre-talk drinks in the conference room. The actual talks were supposed to start tomorrow.
"Isn't it a little early for them to start fighting?"
"You said it," she commented dryly. "We're all worried about how it's going to go now. Although we did reach some sort of truce earlier, mainly mediated by Shakar." She indicated the Bajoran First Minister, who was deep in conversation with the Romulan Praetor at the other end of the bar. And that was when Julian noticed quite a few security officers standing on the sidelines, trying to look as unobtrusive as possible.
"So what was the run-in?"
"Well, the Klingons and the Romulans don't have a common enemy anymore, so they have to bide their time insulting each other. It was a little more vicious earlier, though. I think the Chancellor and the new Praetor aren't... well, let's just say the chemistry is totally off." He could see, from where he was standing, what the problem might be. The Praetor looked very much like Koval, the former head of the Tal Shiar, a remarkably controlled man who projected a very cool aura. Not exactly something one could say about Martok.
"So, what did they say to each other?"
"Oh, you know, the usual." Kira sounded very tired of the whole thing. "Klingons are savages, Romulans are devious, Klingons are animals, Romulans are snakes, etc., etc. The worst bit was when the Cardassian Prime Minister tried to mediate."
"Oh?"
Julian looked at Osharan again, still noticing that he was throwing furtive, rather anxious looks at Martok. "I got the impression he was quite good at that."
"I'm sure he is, but there's one thing wrong with him that he can't help. He's a Cardassian."
Julian frowned at her. Was she saying what he thought she was? That he had some sort of innate character traits due to his species? It was just the kind of thing Bajorans were constantly saying about Cardassians, and of course the other way around. He had just never heard it from Kira. "By which I mean," she clarified, seeing his questioning glance, "that when he tried to step between them and mediate, they suddenly united again to insult him."
"I see."
Julian was surprised to notice how defensive he felt.
I assume it was all cowards, opportunists, Alpha Quadrant traitors, and so on.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Sounds like a great start to the talks, then.
Yeah. Well, at least people have calmed down now. I just hope the rest of the...
Her words were drowned out in a loud crash, as one of Osharin's aides was thrown over a table and landed rather hard on his back. A Bajoran civilian stood over him, looking furious. At once, several security officers sped forward and restrained the man, as well as the Bajoran standing behind him. Kira hurried forward.
"What's going on here?"
"He called our people inferior," spat out the Bajoran. "Some nerve you've got, coming here and insulting us after all that your people have done, to us and to the Alpha Quadrant."
"He started it,"
protested the man, getting up and pointing at the Bajoran. "He said we deserved everything that happened during the war. He said we deserved Lucarian City."
The man was shaking.
"And what if I did?" shouted the Bajoran. "How many Bajoran cities were reduced to ash during the occupation? How many millions did you kill? How many Cardassians did you kill because you resisted? If you..."
"That is quite enough," said Osharin, and stepped forward.
"Let us not forget that Cardassia survived only because of Damar, the great hero of the Cardassian resistance, who received help from Captain Kira, a former member of the Bajoran resistance," he said to the Cardassian, who looked down. "As for the Cardassian occupation of Bajor," Osharin said, turning to the Bajoran, "a formal apology was issued by the new Cardassian Republic directly after its creation. However, I do not hesitate to give every single Bajoran citizen I meet my very personal apology." He held out his hand to the Bajoran, who took it, looking at Osharin with grudging respect. Julian saw the security officer stepping back to the side, but they continued to watch the Bajoran and his friends behind him very closely. Osharin finally turned to everyone assembled in the bar. "We are here to ring in a new era of relations between all our peoples. Dwelling on old feuds and reckoning up old bills isn't going to help us in that goal. Let's work together and try and look past all that has happened. We need a strong Alpha Quadrant, not one where we're continually at war with each other, be it only in the sense of two people not getting along."
"Hear, hear," said Shakar, and stepped forward to shake Osharin's hand. As everyone broke into applause, Julian caught Garak's eye, and they smiled at each other.
"He's a very good diplomat, you see," Garak said, as they laid in bed at night. "He may not be the most efficient administrator, but he has his aides for that. Mind you, not that one for very much longer." Julian had snuck into his quarters on the ship after making sure no one was around to see him. He was glad that there was no universal translator embedded in the ship's system. He had witnessed a dubbed version of Garak earlier, when he had clearly been speaking Cardassi with Osharin, and that had just been too strange.
"Poor man," said Julian. "But I guess he's not suited for the job if he loses control like that."
"No, indeed. The Prime Minister was quite right to hand him his notice immediately afterwards."
All right, I get it. Osharin is your new hero," said Julian exasperatedly. "When will you two get married, then?"
"Please," Garak sighed. "Don't give me one of your childish jealousy fits. I really have no time for this sort of thing right now."
"Well, I'm sorry." Although he had just been joking, he was rather offended now.
"I'm just going to have to hold back my naive Federation values while you're busy being smug and important."
"Oh, Julian." Garak rolled over and kissed him hard. "Please don't do this."
Julian kissed him back, then Garak settled onto his chest, Julian's hand stroking slow circles over his back. It was a mark of how much stress Garak was under that he seemed to have no desire to pursue this argument, but took to kissing and begging instead. Very unusual indeed.
"I was only joking, you know," Julian said at length. "But I don't appreciate being written off as naive all the time. I think I deserve a little more respect by now."
"Of course you do, love." Garak moved his head slightly to place a kiss on Julian's throat.
"I do respect you. I just enjoy teasing you."
"I know," Julian smiled, "and I enjoy being teased."
Just let's not be at war with each other. If we can't make it, then the entire Alpha Quadrant is doomed. He felt Garrick's body shaking softly with laughter as he drifted off to sleep. Osharin's improvised speech seemed to have cleared the air, because the talk started off in much better spirits than the pre-drinks had led everyone to believe. Unfortunately, Kira was much more implicated than she had wished, and Garrick sat up night after night with Osharin and the aides, so Julian had no one to talk to except Vic and Quark. He spent some time with Jabara in the infirmary, getting her input on a couple of the projects he'd been working on, but she was of course busy with everyday work, and he didn't dare intrude too much. So he took to wandering the station, checking out the new shops, hanging out with a couple of old acquaintances, and wishing his old friends were still here. Clearly, he should have been careful what he wished for. On his fourth day on Deep Space Nine, he decided he had enough of walking around aimlessly, feeling as though he were walking through a half-remembered dream of his past. He had therefore decided to board a transport to Bajor. It was, after all, a beautiful world, and it was summer on the southern islands. He was looking forward to exploring some of the more secluded ones in a speedboat. It was in the corridor leading to the ship that was departing to Bajor that he heard someone calling his name, a voice he hadn't thought he'd hear again so soon. "Julian!" Ezri called again, and he turned to see her hurrying towards him. He forced himself to give her a pleasant smile as she came to a halt before him. "I knew it," she said. "I heard rumors you were going to be part of this conference, though I hadn't actually managed to get a hold of Nerys to ask her." He continued smiling, and they hugged. "Hi, Ezri. Long time no see." They stood in awkward silence for a moment, then both pointed simultaneously at the bag the other was carrying. "You're going to Bajor," said Ezri, just as he had been about to say the same thing. "Yes, shore leave. Was planning to get some sun." "Ah, and you?" "Same," she said. "I'm on the Mendelssohn now, and we're here for 2 days getting some repairs done." "I see." They smiled at each other unsurely, then both beckoned to the other to board first. "Whereabouts on Bajor?" he said, as they sat down in the waiting room. "I was thinking of the Southern Islands," she said. Of course she was. They had actually talked about going there once, Julian remembered, but they had never found the time before Ezri had left. Well, what a mess, he thought, as they finally arrived at their destination and found themselves standing in front of the same boat rental. "See you later, maybe," she said, as they each boarded on a separate boat and sped off. "Well, that wasn't awkward at all," Julian said aloud as he zoomed away in the direction of the Shirola Isles. For the next few hours he was undisturbed, and he made the most of this beautiful summer's day, snorkeling, swimming, sunbathing, exploring the dewy woods on the smallest isle. It was when he stopped at Fiora, one of the largest islands in the area, and famed for its fantastic restaurants, that he ran into Ezri again. There was no avoiding each other now without being extremely unsocial, so they found a restaurant offering local specialties and a beautiful terrace. They sat poring over the menu for a while, and it almost felt like he was just sharing a meal with a friend. "Jadzia," he thought. "Just imagine she's Jadzia." But that didn't really work either. If anything, it just made him sad. "What do you think this Rashta fish is like?" Ezri asked, pointing at something on the menu. All the dishes, thankfully, came with pictures. This fish looked quite enormous, and possibly a little complicated to eat. "Looks like it's full of bones," he said. "You probably wouldn't like it." "Yeah, you're right." Damn it. Why did even a little hint of their intimacy, their shared many meals together, especially after Garrick had left the station and he'd gotten to know Ezri's tastes quite well, have to feel so strange? "So," she said after they'd finally ordered, "you've been on Cardassia for the last, what, 6 months?" "That's right." Julian gave a rather lengthy summary of his time there, leaving out almost nothing. He knew he was using his favorite evasion technique, talking, to escape the awkwardness, but he couldn't make himself care. "So you're on the Mendelssohn now. I thought you were planning on going back to Trill." "Yes, I spent a couple of months there with the Symbiosis Institute. I learned a great deal about how to separate all the Dax memories from each other,
and to really establish myself as my own Dax, if that makes sense.
Certainly it does.
Now that she mentioned it, Julian thought she did look far more at ease with herself than he had ever known her. In fact, she now looked much more like Jadzia, who had always seemed so remarkably at peace with her joined existence.
I'm glad you got the chance to work it all out.
She smiled gratefully, then suddenly put down her fork and leaned forward.
Julian, I'm sorry I ran off like that. I guess I wasn't really ready to let our relationship turn into something real. And it was weird, too, having known you all those years as Jadzia, and then suddenly being much more attracted to you than she ever was.
Julian looked down at his plate. She had certainly never been hesitant to communicate her emotions, but it was a little unsettling, especially now that he was used to a much more roundabout way of talking about such matters.
It's all right, he said finally, and meant it. I'd much rather you worked things out for yourself than live a lie.
She took his hand briefly, then pulled away again.
You're so sweet. You know, I don't think Jadzia ever knew what she could have had in you.
Oh, stop it. But he couldn't deny to himself that he was flattered. Fiora, as it turned out, was a veritable tourist paradise, not only filled with restaurants but also lots of sports facilities. After walking on the beach for a time, Ezri and Julian ended up on an outdoor spring ball court. Ezri had obviously not just been training her mind on Trill, because her coordination had improved a lot. Julian hardly had to hold back. She still knew he was holding back, but that was one of the things he'd always liked about her. She didn't mind. She would much rather he played on her level than play on his and make the whole exercise boring for both of them.
"Well, that was a close win for you," she said good-naturedly, as they made their way to a seaside cafe for after-game drinks.
"Oh, yes, you were quite a challenge," he assured her, and they both grinned over the shared lie. Julian thought he could finally imagine being friends with this girl, this 300-year-old being, whatever she was, again. They were much more talkative now, and chatted a lot about old friends and colleagues. Ezri told him she'd been to Earth before she'd been assigned to the Mendelssohn, and had visited Cassidy and Jake Sisko, who were currently living with Jake's grandfather in New Orleans. Apparently the baby was due any day now, and Ezri was going to try and go back as soon as possible. She said she felt a certain obligation to look after Benjamin Sisko's unborn baby, as Ben's oldest friend in every sense. At her mention of the name Sisko, a group of Bajorans, all dressed in various shades of green, who had been sitting at the table next to them, turned round. Julian thought there was probably nothing unusual about this. Sisko was the emissary who had been taken to the prophets, after all, but he didn't like the look of these people, nor of their expressions as they looked them over. However, they didn't engage them in conversation, but turned back toward each other and resumed their rather grim muttering. Julian thought he heard the words necessary sacrifice once, but he couldn't be sure. Perhaps I'm getting paranoid, he thought, or just influenced by the spy in my bed. He saw them again on the transport back to the station. They were still looking extremely grim and determined. It wasn't a combination Julian liked to see, and it rather reminded him of the war and his few dealings with Section 31. They look like people with a plan, he whispered to Ezri after pointing them out. She shrugged. Maybe they just got some unpleasant business transactions on the station. Who knows what sort of stuff Quark has been ordering again? I guess, he said. Having arrived at the station, they stepped side by side through the dock onto the promenade, and Julian was just about to go back to his quarters and have a nice long shower before checking whether Garrick was possibly free for dinner, when several things happened at once. He spotted the Cardassian delegation making their way towards Quark's at the same time that Garrick set eyes on him and Ezri. A split second later he saw, out of the corner of his eye no more, several people moving past him and Ezri toward the Cardassians. He caught a flash of green, and on instinct shouted, "Get down!" as he ran toward Garrick. Then there was a bright light, a deafening bang, and everything went black. Remarkably quick reactions. Well, it's all due to the genetic modifications. I guess he wouldn't be so mad at his parents anymore. Kira, Jabara, Garrick! Julian sat up very suddenly and fainted at once. Dr. Bashir? It was Jabara's voice again, coming from very far away. He pulled himself into consciousness with tremendous willpower. Garrick, delegation. They're all okay, said Kira, standing somewhere else inside the circle that was spinning rapidly around his head. All okay? He repeated faintly. Ezri? I'm okay, said Ezri's voice. You took the brunt of the explosion, although it didn't really go off as they planned. A faint memory of tearing the device from the man's hand and throwing it into the nearest storage room. Thank God for hand-eye coordination. Must call Dad. Terrorists, he said, and tried to sit up. Kira and Jabara each laid a firm hand on his shoulders and kept him down. Yes, said Kira. I'll tell you everything later, but you need to rest now. They're all okay, though, he said faintly. Yes, Julian, they're all okay, and all worried about you, especially Garrick. I don't think I've ever seen him this upset. Tell I'm okay. He was already falling back into that sweet nothingness. Of course I will, she said, and he thought she sounded faintly amused. Hours, days, or maybe even minutes later, he felt himself waking up again. There was nobody in the room with him. He asked the computer for a diagnosis. Nothing bad, or at least nothing they hadn't been able to heal already. Some second-degree burns, a broken jaw, and an arm. A memory came back from smashing into a wall and then onto the floor. He sat up slowly and felt his head spinning a little, but not too badly. Doctor! Jabara came rushing in. She must have heard the increase of his heart rate monitored by the computer. You should really lie down. You know me better than that, Dr. Jabara, he said, wincing a little at the faint pain in his jaw. I've already had the diagnosis. I'm fine. Of course you are, she said in the exasperated tone of a doctor treating a colleague. He knew the feeling. But even you can't cheat your body and compensate for the rest it needs. Lie down. If you like, I can ask Captain Kira or Lieutenant Dax to come and tell you about everything that happened. He laid back down, as ordered. After all, she must have worked rather hard to patch him up so quickly, and so well. His regenerated skin was barely itching anymore, and he couldn't even feel the pain in his arm. Either of them would be fine. Thank you, Inez. Kira and Ezri ended up visiting him together, and gave him a blow-by-blow account of what had happened. The Bajorans in green were members of a relatively new extremist group called No More. Kira and her chief of security had been worried that they might try and sabotage the conference, but hadn't had any real proof or any idea what these people looked like. No More was apparently convinced that Cardassia had got what it deserved during the war, and that Cardassian civilization was at an end. Their goal had been to wipe out the leaders of the new government so as to give Cardassia no chance to rebuild a new empire, or so they had said when interrogated. A new empire? Have they heard the name the new government gives itself? Julian said between gritted teeth. Julian, these people wouldn't care if the Republic was called Peace to All Peoples, Kira said sarcastically. They don't trust them, period. They think Cardassians are innately violent and cruel, and nothing is going to change that. Not in their generation, anyway. They're your generation, Nerys, said Ezri. Yes, but they haven't had the chance to meet any decent Cardassians. Julian smiled. You're saying you have? She gave him a thoughtful look. I don't think any Bajoran could have got through the Dominion War as I did, and not have learned to respect and pity the Cardassians. I'm not sure that that's true. Not any Bajoran would be as forgiving as you, he replied. You really do like Cardassians, don't you? Said Ezri, and he shot her a quick, probing look. He had rather given himself away earlier with that terrified yell, but she just looked completely neutral, perhaps a little curious. Yes, I do. He finally sat up slowly and rubbed his jaw. That doesn't mean that I condone any of their past actions, but I really admire their culture and their society, and there are quite a few people on Cardassia that I really like.
Speaking of which, said Kira,
Garak asked me to tell him as soon as you were up. He's back in the conference room now, but he said I should contact him no matter what. He felt another blush coming on.
They're back at it quickly, aren't they?
Well, not that quickly. They took a few hours' break till everyone had recovered from the shock.
Ah, so had he then, apparently.
Well, don't contact him on my account. I wouldn't want to interrupt.
Oh, trust me, I'd rather tell him. He sounded very insistent.
Was he imagining it, or was Ezri looking a little perturbed?
He woke yet again a while later. This time he had more of a sense of how much time had passed, and it didn't feel like very long, to the feeling of a hand slowly stroking through his hair. He opened his eyes slowly.
The hero of the hour awakes, said Garak, smiling at him, though there was a rather undefinable expression in his eyes.
I'm missing the fanfare, Julian said, blinking through bleary eyes.
And what happened to being kissed awake?
Garak smiled a little more and gave him a brief kiss on the lips.
Better?
Much. He could see much better now, and he suddenly realized that there were distinct marks of skin regeneration on Garak's neck ridges and right cheek.
You got hurt?
Please, nothing to your injuries. How are those, by the way?
Better.
The Prime Minister wants to organize a reception in your honor as soon as you're up and about.
Oh, well, if it's up to Jabara, I'll be here for the rest of my stay.
Doctors, they're such a nuisance. Julian punched Garak's arm lightly, then his eyes lit up.
Wait, O'Sharan wants to organize a reception for me. Does that mean I'm your new hero's new hero? What does that make us, I wonder?
Still an extremely mismatched couple. Garak shot back at once, and Julian laughed, although he couldn't help wondering why Garak was so distracted. Perhaps he just wasn't comfortable about being so demonstrative in a public space, even though they were alone. Or maybe this was about Ezri. He didn't feel like explaining himself just now.
So, no more wants Cardassia to remain crippled, he said instead, and the expression in Garak's eyes darkened considerably.
Yes. Not that I can blame them.
Oh, come on. That's exactly what Kira said, but that's insane. You can't condone everything by pointing out these people's hardships during the occupation.
Well, no, but you can't exactly blame them, either.
Garak shook his head.
Julian, do you know what we did during the occupation? Are you aware of all the crimes we committed? All in the name of superiority, all under the guise of wanting to help the Bajorans accede to a new stage of civilization. It's all become so clear to me lately, comparing it with the occupation of Cardassia by the Dominion. We were no different to them, you know. We saw ourselves as the true leaders of the Alpha Quadrant. If we had the same resources as the Dominion created their resources. They engineered the Vorta and the Jem'Hadar. Your people didn't do that. He couldn't believe he was defending Cardassia in front of Garak. His partner, however, seemed to draw comfort from this conversation.
For lack of imagination, retorted Garak.
Rubbish. The Cardassians are anything if not imaginative and clever.
Maybe.
Garak kissed him again, lightly on the temple this time. I have to go back to the conference, my dear, but do tell me how you knew that they were about to attack us. Did you see their bomb?
No, he admitted. I just had a bad feeling about them from the moment I saw them back on Bajor. Then I saw them moving towards you, and my brain just short-circuited.
In a very accurate and productive way, thankfully, said Garak. All those spy holosuite programs must have paid off after all.
He rolled his eyes.
Yes, that or associating with one of the most devious minds of the old Cardassian Empire.
Sounds like a fascinating person. You'll have to tell me about him sometime.
The reception a few days later was a rather stiff affair. O'Sharan made another of his speeches, this one slightly embarrassing, as it praised Julian to the skies as Cardassia's lifesaver in many different ways. Other than that, thankfully, the attention wasn't all on him. Also, Kira and Ezri were there, as well as Quark in his capacity as caterer, so he was able to relax with them while everyone else was being official and diplomatic. "So, you two went to Bajor today," said Cork, nodding at Ezri and Julian. "Nice time?"
"Very nice," said Ezri. "If you count out the fact that we ended the day almost getting killed."
"There was that minor detail about it, yes," Julian concurred. It was good to be back on joking terms with Ezri. He'd always enjoyed her delightful brand of sarcasm.
"Mind you, I almost got killed twice that day," added Ezri. "First time were the jumping shrimps."
"Ah, yes, tricky little fellows," said Julian. Ezri had to decide between them and the Rashta fish for lunch because apparently she can't eat anything conventional.
"The jumping shrimps were in the guide," she said defensively. "I had to try something typical of the Southern Islands."
"Still, funny choice for someone who gets spacesick and pukes at the thought of Gach," commented Kira, and they all laughed.
"Who doesn't puke at the thought of Gach?" said Quark.
"Just make sure you never work in a Klingon bar, Ezri, or you'll have to serve the damn stuff. It's so annoying when those worms try and wriggle off the plate."
They laughed again, and Julian saw Garak looking at them from across the room. He looked rather worried.
"Nice time on Bajor?" he asked later, as he joined Julian, Ezri, and Kira by the window. Ezri nodded, while Julian worried at Garrick's overly casual tone.
"We went to the Southern Islands," Ezri said, and of course she made it sound like they had planned to go together.
"They really are as beautiful as advertised."
"Good. Nothing worse than false promises."
"Oh, now you're really annoying me," thought Julian, and shot him a venomous look. Garrick just replied with one of his innocent smiles.
Nothing else for it than to shoot back.
Still, it would be downright childish to trust in every promise ever made.
"What a good thing that we all grow up," replied Garrick in one of his most agreeable tones, made a little bow, and walked off again.
"What was that all about?" asked Kira, while Ezri just looked after Garrick, puzzled.
"Oh, just some conversational sport," said Julian, shrugging. "It's very Cardassian."
"I'll say it is. As obscure and vague as any of them."
Kira shook her head and went off to talk to Shakar. Ezri, tearing her gaze away from Garrick, who was, of course, looking entirely unruffled and presently delivered an animated speech into Worf's left ear, looked at Julian.
"You look happy," she simply said. He looked into her eyes and saw no regret there, and finally realized that he felt none himself.
"I am happy. Very happy."
"Good. I felt really guilty when I heard you'd moved to Cardassia. I thought you were just running away."
"I was," he admitted. "But it turned out to be the best decision I ever made. Well, maybe next to coming to Deep Space Nine 8 years ago."
"I'm so glad to see you this content." She smiled, a wise old smile, and hugged him.
Then, suddenly, she giggled, and following her gaze, he saw Garrick. He was still standing beside Worf, but he was no longer talking, just staring at them.
"I think," said Ezri, "you should go talk to your boyfriend before he has me assassinated."
So, did the new Cardassian Republic make a good impression in front of the assembled forces of the Alpha Quadrant? He was walking with Garrick through the woods in the western part of the Dakur province. They had just been to Zial's grave, where they had laid down a wreath of white wild roses Garrick had brought from Cardassia. The conference was over, and they were going back to Cardassia tomorrow.
"I think so," replied Garrick. "Osharan may have talked a little too much on occasion, but other than that..."
"Well, as long as you held your tongue."
"Of course I did. You know me, my dear. I am the epitome of taciturn modesty."
They both had a laugh at that. After a moment's silence, they turned into a small, secluded path.
"Will you be making a lot of off-planet trips, then?" Julian asked, putting his arm around him.
"Not that many, I hope," said Garrick in a much quieter voice than usual.
There were Jantuk birds chirping melodiously all around them, and they tried to make as little sound as possible as they walked through this small paradise.
"There's the Bajoran-Cardassian reconciliation talks coming up, but Shakar has already hinted at wanting to come to Cardassia for those."
"Quite something, those Bajorans."
"Yes, you have to admire them."
Garrick suddenly stopped and faced Julian, taking his hands in his. "You must be honest with me, Julian. Would you rather stay here, or return to Earth, maybe?" Julian frowned and looked down at their linked hands. "Why on Earth do you think I'd want to stay?" "Well..." Garrick dropped his hands and turned away, starting to play with a low-hanging branch. "You have many friends in this sector. I have nothing much to offer you. Except yourself and your beautiful planet. Sure, that's not much at all." Julian took his partner's hands again. "I like living on Cardassia, Elam. And I like living with you. It still can't be official. I assure you the Cardassians won't be as open-minded as Kira or Ezri have been, or as Miles O'Brien will be as soon as you send that letter on its way." "Still working on the phrasing." "Of course you are. Well, at least we have one Cardassian, next to Dr. Palak, of course, who is enthusiastic about our association. I talked to O'Sharan yesterday." "You..." He shook his head. "Never mind. O'Sharan was Garrick's new role model, though the man was quite a bit younger than him. It was perhaps too much to ask that an authority-bound Cardassian consult his partner before revealing their relationship to his boss." "Well, good. I'm surprised he didn't object." "Of course he didn't. He thinks you're wonderful." So now they had the new Cardassian leader's blessing. How strange his life had become. "I'm glad. As for the rest, well, we'll figure it out when we're back home." Garrick blinked, then a slow smile spread across his face until he looked ready to burst with happiness. "You called my planet home, in Cardassi. I didn't think I'd live to hear that," he said. The end.
"There's one thing I want to say, so I'll be brave. You were..."